Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how, through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are you doing?
Good. Spectacular.
Okay, so we've got a couple of us here. And Mason, you, before we went on the air, you kind of had some thoughts that you wanted to share with us, pertaining to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount we find in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel. Obviously, those of you, if you were to read that in your red letter edition of your Bible, you'd see that those entire chapters are all red letters. So this is quite a long sermon given by Jesus. But why don't you go ahead and just share with our listening audience some of the things you're thinking about, and we'll follow suit. How's that?
So recently I've been thinking about Matthew. Matthew, book 5 or essay 5 or whatever you want to call it. And it's called Introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. And it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." So he's already mentally prepared for this big sermon, and it's a sermon based on the, what is it called, the
Beatitudes. Yep.
And he says you're all blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the merciful and the pure heart. And he says, yeah, that's all good and all, but you got to remember, there's salt and light. And especially with the stuff going on now with COVID-19, we are at a point where we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and we're starting to reconcile with how we've dealt with the trauma from news outlets and stuff like that. And he's reminding you of the salt. So when I picked Matthew 5, the book 5 out of Matthew, I was just thinking that it was a good good time to remember reconciliation, in a sense that we're all susceptible to not reconciling. I've been thinking all week, if you're not reconciling, then you're not kind of taking the yin and the yang there, where you're being strong and you're being nice and you're being forthright and you're doing good, but the reconciliation aspect of it, a lot of people aren't looking back on the memories that it's created, we're all kind of taking our memories in stride instead of saving those memories. And I think that in a time of reconciliation, and especially here now as we speak, you should take a heed as to reconcile and make sure that you're staying lined with your views and your beliefs and doing good instead of being good.
I like the emphasis on the reconciliation. I think your kudos for your insight of the current culture of conflict, right, and all the challenges that throughout the world, but let's just speak here in America, that we're going through. And with those challenges, in the midst of that conflict, there is this invitation, is what you're speaking about, is reconciliation. I like to think biblically reconciliation is really about healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we heal the harm? How do we heal the hurt?
Mm-hmm. The body.
Yeah, and that's at all different levels. And we know we've got, you know, yeah, how do you heal America when the Big Ten has canceled its football season, right?
Yeah. We need to reconcile and realize that the Big House might not be open this year.
Yeah, so, you know, and that's just one. I mean, there, you know, we're talking about we've got a pandemic, and we've got racial injustice, and we've got economic issues, and there's a plethora. But they all, either we stand staunchly in our division, or we move towards some realm of healing. What you're talking about, reconciliation.
We're fulfilling the law of life. We're stuck.
Which is what I really like about your choice on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I mean, we're better to really speak about it because Matthew starts out and he calls the crowds and he has them sit down and he begins to teach. So it doesn't say he begins to preach. So it's really kind of a teaching on the mountain. So then it begs the question, what is he teaching? What's the wisdom that he's going to share with his audience? And it really becomes counterintuitive wisdom and counter-order wisdom. This realization is huge for us in our day here because we're really trying to cling to what was.
Yeah.
You know, how do we get back to normal? And yet, will there ever be a right back to normal?
Yeah.
Do we establish a new normal? And how does that actually become normal if it's new? But yeah, it's this invitation to counter order and counter intuitive wisdom. And he begins by using this word makarios, blessed, which at that day in Greek and that Roman, that Greco-Roman culture would have been understood as, we are blessed when I have through my human effort reached a level of attainment. So it's through human attainment. He flipped this around with makarios and going, no, this is a God thing.
Yeah.
You don't do it. This is God's way, kingdom way of order.
Yeah.
And so when you're in alignment with the kingdom way order of God, consider yourself blessed. And then he gives you a list of what does that look like. Well, if you're going to be in alignment with God's kingdom way order, you might have to be poor.
You being blessed, you should not murder, and you shouldn't commit adultery and divorce.
You should be the light, and you should be the salt, and all those things that you're talking about, right? It's the counter order way. Mm-hmm. And think about, here we are living in the midst of a pandemic, and we all have these challenges, and we pray everybody listening is safe and well, and all those things. What do we do with this? Do we promote division?
He says, make an oath.
It's like this righteousness.
Make a new oath.
The righteousness of is a God. It's a natural. It's not. It's like we're hungry or thirsty. We go and find food and drink. Well, it's the same thing. To have this righteousness, to be blessed, is a natural thing. Then it should be part of us. It's because God built it within inside of us. So we shouldn't be, our satisfaction should be given by this God-given thing rather than on the backs of backs of the poor, backs of the hungry, the backs of the indifferent. You know, because we feel like we're privileged as people, we shouldn't be satisfied on the backs of other people.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, take an eye for an eye. You can't be unaware that you're making these decisions, that you can't just say, look, I got my unemployment, now I'm just gonna, you know, what is after that? He's telling you, you know, these are the things you need to do. Just because you've been blessed, you still need to make amends and keep creating those good memories, or I call them memories, most people will call them habits.
Which, you know, and it ties into here at Neighbors of Hope with our morning men's group. We've been studying the relationship of addiction and grace. Mm-hmm. And at the heart of that, as you were talking about, Tim, is we have this kind of God-given innate desire for God. Later in chapter 6, right, Jesus is going to talk about, hey, where your treasure is, there's your heart. So he is talking about, you know, this heart, this center of our desire. Is it for human attainment, or is it for God's way?
Hmm.
When your desire is properly located toward God's order, God's wisdom, God's way, then and only then are you blessed. Because that is not a deontological or a theological pursuit,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not the way you get there. It's not the ends that make it right. Doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get there. That's not it. It's ontological. It's about what it means to be, right, truly human, or what does it mean to be with God? If I'm with God, I'll be poor in spirit. If I'm with God, I'll be humble. If I'm with God, I'll be a peacemaker. I'll bring healing and reconciliation. Not to advance myself.
Mm-hmm.
There are fruits that get born out of that relationship. But Jesus is really teaching a wisdom that's so counterintuitive to the wisdom of his day, which would be just as probably counterintuitive today. Mm-hmm. It's very unconventional. It's counter-order. Right? Hey, let's pursue. Let's climb the corporate ladder. Let's get the money. Let's buy the things. Let's attain through human effort. He goes, that's not it.
And you could also take that and reconcile forward and say, I have all these things. Let's push on. Let's take what he said and use it, rather than being so subtle as to say, you know, oh, you know, thank you. We should, you know, you should. And I that just might be my own personal beliefs, but we should be progressive. We should take what he says.
Be moving forward, yes.
And be progressive with what he's been saying.
And
I don't know, that this might be the boss man talking to me right now, but I don't know what his plan is. So, you know, that's the beauty of Christ. I don't know. You can read it. You can read all day. You can read all you want.
He
wants you to. That's it right there. I can't.
I think, and sometimes when you talk about, okay, you know, what does God want for me? We tend to try to answer that question in kind of very subjective ways.
Yeah.
Concretized through my position of employment, my position with the family, whatever that is. You know, what do I do for a living? You want me to get this house? You know, these kind of object-oriented.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I think he's really speaking about, what do I want from you? To love me.
He's like, I'm telling you right now.
I want you to be what I am back to me, right? I created you in love, by love, for the purpose of love. So just be loved, right? And you can do that in all kinds of ways. Right? You can be the electrician,
mm-hmm.
right? You could be a political leader. You can be the doctor, the lawyer, whatever. I mean, it could be about your vocation that way. I think this is where the prophet Micah, you know, probably said it best. But you don't know what the Lord wants from you,
mm-hmm.
right? To do justice,
mm-hmm.
right? Show mercy and walk humbly with him. And so when you take mercy and justice, those are on each side of the pendulum of what we call compassion. Because justice without mercy is tyranny. Mercy without justice is folly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not one or the other, it's the balance of the two, which now we're talking about compassion. And that's what we see in the life of Christ. And it ought to be at the heart of the God way. And if we're very compassionate in our, right, here we are in the middle of August 2020, in the midst of a campaign, pandemic, all kinds of social upheavals and chaoses. It is very tempting to just try and deny those realities and to try and escape from them. But if I'm going to be ontologically true to my identity in God as the blessed one, I've got to jump in towards that reconciliation. Mm-hmm. You know? And what we discover is that it tends to bring healing to myself as well, as to others. So.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we look at it, it's on the mountaintop. On the mountain, I mean, you know, like, he has a statement to say. He has to be getting above to tell a statement, to educate us on what we need to do. It's a movement, and it's a political movement. This idea that we have to separate church and state, it is maybe a little bit more to it in the laws and stuff like that, but if you really think about it, we can't separate them. Because if we're going to truly believe in our Father and follow His purpose of love, then that has to come first. And so we have to do what he's trying to do. This is his campaign to go on the trail against the Roman government, against Caesar Augustus, to say they are in power to depress us as people, to take control of us, to control what we do in our lives. That's wrong. God, our Father, is telling us we need to love one another, that we all can move up as one. We need to go to the bottom and help those who are need us the most, and bring everybody up with us. Not to go from the top down, from the bottom up. That's what he's trying to do.
Yeah,
he's trying to make that campaign. He's trying to put on the political trail of what his talks, his education is. He's about educating us on the righteousness of our life.
So he talked about downward mobility, the great reversal, the inverted order. All those things, and I think we can kind of end with hearing you speak, Tim. It reminds me of the recent Congressman John Lewis.
Yeah.
That perhaps on the teaching of on the Mount, Jesus is inviting people into. Jesus is inviting them to good trouble.
Yeah. So.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Excellent conversation. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our donation and recycling center, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.